Welcome back to Encounter. I'm talking with Derek Sherman about his book, Shaping a Digital World, Faith, Culture, and Computer Technology. I'm sure most of you have a smartphone in your pocket or your purse. You have a laptop or a computer at home. So this is a discussion you need to tune into because your little devices are shaping the way you think and how you live. Derek, you referred to a professor at MIT who was optimistic about the future of technology. Does that mean she is less optimistic now?
Yeah, her recent book is called Alone Together, and it's Sherry Turkle who I was referring to. And the subtitle of her book is Why We Expect More from Technology and Less from Each Other.
Mm-hmm.
She looks at things like smartphones and texting and social networks, but also looks at things like robotics. There's some incredible developments in the world of robotics now, and people are beginning to explore the possibility of things like child-minding robots and elder care robots.
Yikes.
And these have huge ethical questions, you know, particularly in communities like Japan, where there's a lot of innovation in this particular area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it right to leave your child in the care of a robot? And what are the implications for how that child would develop if part of his or her time is spent interacting with a robot?
Right.
And so this has to do with the way we develop and, again, the way we're shaped by these tools. She's got a whole bunch of anecdotes in her book. And you know, one of them is just this thing that I recognize with some of the teenagers in my life is just almost a fear to use a voice communications on a telephone, that there's this strong preference to text.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how technology sort of creates this it creates these possibilities for interaction, but how in some cases it becomes a diminished form of communication, which eventually becomes preferred.
It's almost like we're hiding or something.
We're using
the technology as a shield of some sort.
Yeah, and I mean, voice communications are you're still removed, but there is the, you know, you can hear emotion, you can hear a person's voice and the pace at which that they're speaking and whether they're pensive or whether they're, there's more information embedded in verbal information than there is in a carefully crafted text.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this sort of this reduction of in the medium, and it sort of shapes the kinds of things that we can converse about. I mean, Neil Postman kind of makes this observation too, I think, in his book about how you can't use smoke signals to talk about philosophy. and that's in his Amusing Ourselves to Death. And he's
right.
Exactly right. So there's certain things that, you know, we can't do very well with texting. And if it becomes our primary means of communicating, then there's something we're losing.
Yeah, I've actually found in the context of the church, and because I'm a pastor by vocation, that I tell my staff, there are some things you don't email about. You make a phone call.
Yes.
Or you talk in person. And we've gotten so used to just sending a text or sending an email. I mean, there's some topics that are so sensitive.
Yeah.
And are so personal that they really need that personal touch, if you will, of someone hearing your voice or even talking to you face to face.
Yeah, exactly. I think what we're discerning now is these norms that we have to sort of figure out. And I don't think these are arbitrary. I think these are things that are sort of built into the fabric of creation. God has designed us as bodies, and he's designed us with our physicality as part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
He's designed us to live in community. And if we start to ignore some of these things, or if we think that a virtual community or some digital media is an equal substitute for some of these other ways of interacting, I think that there'll be consequences. It just, we can't escape, the way that God has made this world, and we need to discern these things. And I think we're in the kind of stage now where these tools have kind of raced ahead of our thinking, and we need to begin to kind of think about these implications for church and for school and families and so on.
So is it fair to say that there are limits to, I mean, really, any technology is an extension of the person,
mm-hmm.
an extension of a culture, if you will. But is it fair to say that there are perhaps limits to that extension that are built into us by creation?
I think so. I think it's Marshall McLuhan who also talked a bit about how, you know, media is an extension to the person, you know, and he says, you know, you can use a shovel or you can use a steam shovel, and what happens, what Marshall McLuhan, and I think it was Marshall McLuhan, what he observed was that if you begin to use a steam shovel rather than a shovel, it's sort of an extension of your arm and so on, but your arm actually becomes weaker. So the amplified actually get weaker.
Right.
And another person who's written about this very well, I think, is Brad Kallenberg in a book called God and Gadgets. You know, and he talks about how real intimate communication requires bodies. And another good book on the subject is Shane Hipps, who wrote a book about faith and the power, the hidden power of electronic culture. And he, you know, he says that, you know, social networking and sort of digital communications are kind of like cotton candy. You know, they can kind of satiate our hunger for social interaction, but they're not a really good diet to
mm-hmm.
you know. And in fact, if we do a lot of it, it can actually, you know, leave us in a position not to be hungering for more authentic kind of community and communication. So these are the kinds of things that we need to begin to discern, and we need to be able to have as a community, but also I think people who are developing these technologies, people using these technologies, who seek to honor God in the time and place in which we live, need to begin to have a discussion about.
You know, that's interesting because I had this very interesting discussion with my son yesterday, who is studying computer engineering, and he was talking about these articles he's reading about the perception of time when you're on a computer,
mm-hmm.
and you know what a progress bar is, of course, because you're in technology, right? So on your
yep.
computer, if something is downloading or you know a web page is downloading, you'll see the blue thing in your bar going across, and so you're waiting. So the article was about how can we design these progress bars. Can we design them in such a way that it makes people feel like they're not waiting as long? And I said to him, my first reaction, now maybe this is a generational thing, my first reaction is that's very scary to me, because instead of the article being about how can we simply make things download faster, it's how can we alter perception of what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's woven into so much media now.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how it's not, you know, it's that subliminal stuff that concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how can we alter the perception, not change the what's really happening,
right,
but change what's the perception of what's happening.
And often we're unaware of how these things are changing us. Another book that I think that I found really insightful is a book about called iBrain, and neuroscientists are actually beginning to look at how these tools are shaping the way we think. And I think mm-hmm. just like exercise in the gym, particular exercises shape certain muscles. The same sort of thing is true with technology. If we use certain types of media, they tend to exercise certain neural pathways, if you will,
and, mm-hmm.
and neuroscientists are beginning to see that certain things atrophy and certain things are enhanced. And so not only is it just, you know, changing our landscape, it's changing the way we perceive it and the way that we think. And
yeah, that was one of Postman's arguments in Amusing Ourselves to Death, although at the time he didn't have a lot of science to back it up, but he was arguing, you know, it's not just, you know, we watch TV too much, so therefore we're wasting time or something, but what we're the very activity itself is having an impact on our very brain, the way we think.
Yeah, precisely. I think it was Marshall McLuhan who said, you know, this sort of distinguishes the content from the medium. You know, like the content is the stuff that we're looking at on television. The medium itself is just, you know, what television is doing. And he says, you know, the content is like the juicy piece of meat that distracts the watchdog of the mind, you know, so that the medium does its work in our brains and the way that we think, totally unawares while we're watching whatever the content may be. And I think that's really significant. I think some of these guys had some really, writers like Postman and McLuhan and so on, had some really important kind of messages that even though they weren't perhaps necessarily thinking about the computer in the form that we have it today, is really important for people to realize.
I agree. Listen, I want to mention the name of your book again, because as I said earlier, everybody listening, they're listening on a various form of media, radio. They have a phone. They have a computer, probably. They have a television, undoubtedly. And all of these things are actually relevant to their faith, relevant to how they interact with their world. And these things are impacting them. So it's important that everybody gets a copy of your book. I want to mention the name again. It's called Shaping a Digital World, put out by InterVarsity Press, by Derek Sherman. His last name is spelled S-C-H-U-U-R-M-A-N. It's an old Dutch name. So I encourage you to get a copy of the book, Shaping a Digital World. Read it, pray over it, and so you can be a more effective and faithful witness for Jesus Christ. Derek, our time's up, but it's been a very enjoyable interview.
Thank you, David, and thank you so much for having me.
And to all of our listeners, thanks for joining us today on Encounter.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.